We know about sweet and salt water, but between them there is a barrier, though they meet, do not mix. Today, after advancement of oceanology, we have come to know that whenever one type of water flows into the other type of water, it loses its constituents and gets homogenized into the water it flows. There is a slanting, homogenizing area which the Quran refers to as barzakh, unseen barrier. And this has been agreed upon by several scientists, even of America, by the name of Dr. Hay. He's an oceanologist. And Dr. William Campbell writes in his book that it is an observable phenomena. The fishermen of that time knew there were two types of water, salt and sweet. So Prophet Muhammad, during an expedition to Syria, he may have gone in the sea or he might have spoken to the fishermen. Sweet and salt water is an observable phenomena, I agree. But people did not know that there was an unseen barrier until recently. The scientific point to be noted here is the barzakh, not the sweet and the salt water. In the field of embryology, Dr. William Campbell spent approximately half of his talk on that. Time will not permit me to reply to every small thing which are illogical. I'll just give a brief reply, which will be satisfactory, inshallah. And for more details, you can refer to my video cassette, Quran Modern Science, and my other cassettes on Quran and Medical Science. There were a group of Arabs who collected the data dealing in the Quran about embryology and the hadith dealing with embryology, and they presented it to Professor Kismu, who was the chairman and the head of the Department of Anatomy in the University of Toronto in Canada. And at present, he is one of the leading scientists in the field of embryology. After reading the various translations of the Quran, he was asked to comment and he said, most of the verses of the Quran and the Hadith are in perfect conformity with modern embryology. But there are a few verses which I cannot say that they are right. Neither can I say that they are wrong because I myself don't know about it. And two such verses were the first verse of the Quran to be revealed from Surah Iqra of Surah Alaq, chapter 96, verse number 1 and 2, which says, Iqra bismi rabbikal ladhi khalaq. Khalaqal insana min alaq. Read, recite, or proclaim in the name of thy Lord, who created the human beings from something which clings a leech-like substance. Regarding Dr. William Campbell's statement that to analyze the meaning of a word, you have to see what was the meaning at that time when it was revealed, at that time when the book was written. And he rightly said that to analyze the meaning, you have to analyze the meaning at the time it was revealed and to the people who it was meant for. As far as this statement of his is concerned, regarding the Bible, I do agree with it totally, because the Bible was only meant for the children of Israel for that time. It's mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 10, verse number 5 and 6. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, tells his disciples, go ye not in the way of the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? The non-Jews, the Hindus, the Muslims. But rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 15, verse number 24, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Jesus Christ and the Bible were only meant for the children of Israel. Since it was meant for them, to analyze the Bible, you have to use the meaning of the word which was utilized at that time. But the Quran was not meant only for the Arabs of that time. Quran is not meant only for the Muslims. The Quran is meant for the whole of humanity. And it is meant to be for eternity. Quran says in Surah Ibrahim chapter 14 verse 52, in Surah Baqarah chapter number 2 verse 185, and Surah Zumar chapter 39 verse 41, that the Quran is meant for the whole of humankind. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was not sent only for the Muslims or the Arabs. Allah says in the Quran in Surah Anbiya chapter number 21 verse number 107, Bama arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin, that we have sent thee as a mercy, as a guidance to the whole of humankind. So as far as the Quran is concerned, you cannot limit the meaning only for that time, because it is meant for eternity. So one of the meanings of alaqa is leech-like substance or something which clings. So Professor Keith Moore said, I do not know whether the early stage of embryo looks like a leech. And he went in his laboratory and he analyzed the early stage of an embryo under a microscope and compared it with a photograph of a leech, and he was astonished at the striking resemblance. This is a photograph of a leech and human embryo. What Dr. William Campbell showed you is the other perspective of it. If I show this book, it looks like a rectangle. If I show you like that, it's a different perspective. That diagram is given in the book. The diagram you show on the side is given there, and I'll deal with it, inshallah. Professor Keith Moore, after about 80 questions asked to him, he said, if you would have asked me these 80 questions 30 years ago, I would not be able to answer more than 50%, because embryology has developed recently in the past 30 years. He said this in the 80s. Now, do we believe in Dr. Keith Moore, whose statement is available outside in the foyer, if video cassette is available, this is the truth, unknown huh? Recorded statement. So will you believe Dr. William Campbell's personal conversation with Professor Keith Moore? Or the one mentioned in this book, with Islamic edition, as well as the photograph that I've shown to you. And in the video cassette available outside, you can see it. He makes those statements. So you have to choose which is more logical. Personal discussion with Dr. William Campbell or his statement on video, like how Dr. William Campbell showed my video. 100% proof what I said. Moon is reflected light. I'll come to it later on. And whatever additional information he got from Quran and Hadith, it was incorporated later into this book, The Developing Human, the third edition. And this book got an award for the best medical book written by a single author in that year. This is the Islamic edition that was put forward by Sheikh Abdul Majid Zindani and certified by Keith Moore himself. The Quran says in Surah Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse number 13, and Surah Hajj, chapter 22, verse number 5, and no less than 11 different places in the Quran, that the human beings have been made from a nutfah, a minute quantity of liquid. Like a trickle that's remaining in the cup, nutfah in Arabic, a very small quantity. Today we have come to know, in one seminal emission, in which there are several millions of sperm, only one is required to fertilize the ovum. The Quran refers as nutfah. Quran says, in Surah Sajda, chapter 32, verse number 8, they have created the human beings from salala. That means the best part of a whole. The one sperm which fertilizes the ova, out of the millions of sperm, the Quran refers to as salala, best part of the whole. And Quran says in Surah Insan, chapter 76, verse number 2, we have created the human beings from nutfatin amshaj, a minute quantity of mingled fluid, referring to the sperm as well as the ovum. Both are required for the fertilization. The Quran describes the various embryological stages in great detail, of which the slides were shown to you by Dr. William Campbell. He helped me to complete this topic. It's mentioned for a Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse number 12 to 14. The translation is that they have created the human beings from anutfa, a minute quantity of liquid. Then placed it in Aqrar-e Makin, a place of security. Then we made it into an alaka, a leech-like substance, something which clings, a tangible clot of blood. Then we made that alaka into a mudga, a chewed-like lump. Then we made the mudga into idama, bones. Then clothed the bones with lahm, flesh. Then we made it a new creature. Blessed be Allah, who is the best to create. These three verses of the Quran speak about the various embryological stages in great detail. First, the nutfa, placed in a place of security, made into an alaka. Alaka has got three meanings. One is something which clings, and we know that in the initial stages, the embryo clings to the uterine wall and continues clinging till the end. Point number two, that it also means a leech-like substance. And as I discussed earlier, the embryo in the initial stages does look like a leech. Besides looking like a leech, it also behaves like a leech. It receives its blood supply from the mother, like a bloodsucker. And the third meaning, which Dr. William Campbell objected to, that is the right meaning, the conduit of the blood, and that's why Quran has a scientific error. And I do agree with him that Dr. William Campbell didn't agree. He said, how can it mean a conduit of the blood? Because this is the case, then the Quran is wrong. I'm sorry to say, Quran is not wrong. Dr. William Campbell, with due respect to him, he's wrong. Because today, after advancement of embryology, even Dr. Keith Moore, he says that in the initial stages, the embryo, besides looking like a leech, also looks like a congealed clot of blood. Because in the initial stages of the stage of alaka, 3 to 4 weeks, the blood is clotted within closed vessels. And Dr. William Campbell made it easy for me. He showed you a slide. It will be difficult for you to see, but this is the slide he showed you. This is exactly what Professor Keith Moore said looks like a clot, in which the blood is clotted within closed vessels, and during the third week of the embryo, the blood circulation doesn't take place. It starts later on. Therefore, it assumes the appearance of a clot. And even if you observe the conceptus, that's after abortion takes place, you can see it looks like a clot. Only one line answer is sufficient to answer all the allegations of Dr. William Campbell, is that the stages of the Quran, while it describes the embryological stages, is only based on appearance. Appearance. First is the appearance of a alaka, a leech-like substance, as well as a clot of blood. And Dr. William Campbell rightly said that some ladies come and ask, please remove the clot. It does look like a clot. And the stages are based on appearance. It is created from something which appears like a clot, which appears like a leech, and is also something which clings. Then the Quran says we made that alaka into a mudga, a chewed like lump. Professor Keith Moore took plaster seal and bit between his teeth to make it look like a mudga. The teeth mark resembled the somites. Dr. William Campbell said, when the alaka becomes a mudga, the clinging is yet there. It is dead late and half months. So, the Quran is wrong. I told you in the beginning, the Quran is describing the appearance. The leech-like appearance and the clot-like appearance is changed to the chewed-like appearance. It yet continues to cling till the end, there's no problem. But the stages are divided on appearance, not on the function. Later on, Quran says, we made the mudga into izama bones. Then clothed the bones with flesh. Dr. William Campbell said, and I do agree with him, that the precursors of the muscles and the cartilages, that is the bones, they form together. I agree with that. Today, embryology tells us that the primordia of the muscles and the bones, they form together between the 25th and the 40th day, which the Quran refers to as the stage of mudga. But they are not developed. They are not developed. Later on, at the end of the 7th week, the embryo takes form of human appearance. Then the bones are formed. Today, modern embryology says the bones are formed after the 42nd day. And it gives an appearance of a skeletal thing. Even at this stage when the bones are formed, the muscles aren't formed. Later on, after the 7th week and the starting of 8th week, are the muscles formed. So Quran is perfect in describing first alaka, then mudga, then izaman, then clothed with flesh. And when they form, the description is perfect. And Professor Keith Moore said that the stages that how it is described in modern embryology, stage 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's so confusing. The Quranic stage on embryology, describing on the base of appearance and the shape, is far more superior. Alhamdulillah. Therefore he said that I have no objection in accepting that Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of God and that this glorious Quran has to be a divine revelation from Almighty God. It's mentioned in Surah Nisa, chapter number 4, verse 56, it speaks about pain. Previously, the doctors, they thought that the brain was only responsible for feeling of pain. Today we have come to know, besides the brain, there are certain receptors in the skin which are responsible for feeling of the pain, which we call as pain receptors. Quran says in Surah Nisa chapter 4, 56, that as to those who reject our signs, we shall cast them into the hellfire, and as often as their skins are roasted, we shall give them fresh skin so that they shall feel the pain. Indicating there is something in the skin which is responsible for feeling of pain, which the Quran refers to as pain receptors. Professor Tagla Tagashan, who is the head of the Department of Anatomy in Chiang Mai University in Thailand, only on the basis of this one verse, he proclaimed the Shahada in the 8th medical conference in Riyadh and said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, that there is no God but Allah, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the messenger of Allah. I started my talk by quoting the verse of the glorious Quran from Surah Fusilah chapter 41 verse 53, which says, Sanurihim ayatina fil afaqi wa fi anfusihim hatta yatabayyana lahum annahu al-haq awalam yakfi bi rabbika annahu ala kulli shay'in shahid, that soon we shall show them our signs in the furthest regions of the horizons and into their soul until it is clear to them that this is the truth. This one verse was sufficient to prove to Dr. Tagla Tagashan that Quran is a divine revelation. Some may require 10 signs, some may require 100, some even after 1,000 signs are given, they will not accept the truth. Quran calls such people as in Surah Baqarah chapter 2 verse number 18, Summum, Bukmun, Umyun, Fahum La Arjun, the deaf, the dumb, the blind, they will not return the true path. The Bible says the same thing in Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 13, verse number 13, seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, neither will they understand. And regarding the other parts of embryology, I will deal in my rebuttal, inshallah, if time permits. I have to do justice to the other part also, regarding Bible and the right of science. At the outset, let me tell you that Quran says in Surah Ra'd, chapter 13, verse 38, that we have given several revelations. By name, only four are mentioned. The Torah, the Zabur, the Injil, and the Quran. The Torah is the Wahi, the revelation, which was given to Moses, peace be upon him. The Zabur is the Wahi, which was given to David, peace be upon him. The Injil is the Wahi, the revelation, which was given to Jesus, peace be upon him. And Quran is the last and final revelation, which was given to the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Let me make it very clear to everyone that this Bible, which the Christians believe to be the word of God, is not the Injil which we Muslims believe was revealed to Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. This Bible, according to us, it may contain the words of God, but it also contains words of prophets, words of historians. It contains absurdities, obscenity, as well as innumerable scientific errors. If there are scientific points mentioned in the Bible, there are possibilities. Why not? It may be part of the word of God in the Bible. But what about the scientific errors? What about the unscientific portion? Can you attribute this to God? I want to make it very clear to my Christian brothers and sisters. The purpose of my presentation on Bible and science is not to hurt any Christian's feeling. If I hurt your feelings, I do apologize in advance. The purpose is only to point out that a God's revelation cannot contain scientific errors. As Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, search you the truth and the truth shall free you. You have the Old Testament, you have the New Testament. Now you should follow the last and final testament, which is the glorious Quran. As far as Dr. William Campbell is concerned, I can be more liberal with him because he has written a book, Quran, Bible in the Light of History and Science. He has given a presentation and he's a medical doctor. I don't have to be very formal with him. As far as the other Christian brothers and sisters are concerned, I apologize if I hurt your feelings during the presentation. Let's analyze what does the Bible say about modern science. First, we deal with astronomy. The Bible speaks about the creation of the universe. In the beginning, first book, book of Genesis, first chapter, it's mentioned. It says, Almighty God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and talks about an evening and a morning, referring to a 24-hour day. Today, scientists tell us that the universe cannot be created in a 24-hour period of 6 days. Quran 2 speaks about 6 ayams. The Arabic word singular is yom, plural is ayam. It can either mean a day of 24 hours, or it is a very long period, an eon, an epoch. Scientists say we have no objection in agreeing that the universe, it could have been created in 6 very long periods. Point number 2. Bible says in Genesis chapter number 1, verse 3 and 5, light was created on first day. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 to 19, the cause of light, stars, and the sun, etc., was created on fourth day. How can the cause of light be created on the fourth day, later than the light which came into existence on the first day? It's unscientific. Further, the Bible says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 9 to 13, earth was created on the third day. How can you have a night and day without the earth? The day depends upon the rotation of the earth. Without the earth created, how can you have a night and day? Point number 4. Genesis chapter number 1, verse 9 to 13 says, earth was created on third day. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 to 19 says, the sun and the moon was created on the fourth day. Today, science tells us that earth is part of the parent body, the sun. It cannot come into existence before the sun. It's unscientific. Point number 5. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 11 to 13, the vegetation, the herbs, the shrubs, the trees, they were created on the third day. And the sun, Genesis chapter number 1, verse 14 to 19, was created on the fourth day. How can the vegetation come into existence without sunlight? And how can they survive without sunlight? Point number six, that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 16, that God created two lights. The greater light, the sun, to rule the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. The actual translation, if you go to the Hebrew text, it is lamps. Lamps, having light of its own. And that you'll come to know better if you read both the verses, Genesis chapter 1, verse 16 as well as 17. Verse number 17 says, and Almighty God placed them in the firmament to give light to the earth. To give light to the earth, indicating that sun and the moon have its own light, which is in contradiction with established scientific knowledge that we have. There are certain people who try and reconciliate and say that the 6 days mentioned in the Bible, it actually refers to epochs like the Quran, long period, not 624 days. It's illogical. You read the Bible, evening, morning, it clearly states 24 hours, it indicates. But even if I use a concordist approach, no problem. I agree with your illogical argument. Yet, they will only be able to solve the first scientific error of 6 days creation, and second, that first day light and third day earth. The remaining four, yet they cannot solve. Some further say that if it's a 24 period, why can't the vegetable survive for 124 day without sunlight? You say, fine. If you say that the vegetables were created before the sun and can survive for 124 day, I have got no objection. But you can't say the days mentioned are 24 hours as well as epochs. You can't have the cake and eat it both. If you say it is a long period, you solve point number 1 and 3. The remaining 4 are yet there. If you say the days are 24 days, you solve only point number 5. The remaining 5 are yet there. It becomes unscientific. I leave it to Dr. William Campbell, whether he wants to say it is long period and say that there are only 4 scientific errors, or say it is a 24 days and say there are only 5 scientific errors in the creation of the universe. Regarding the concept of Earth, there are various scientists who have described how will the world end. Hypothesis. Some may be right, some may be wrong. But either the world will perish or the world will live forever. Both cannot take place simultaneously. It's unscientific. But this is exactly what the Bible says. It's mentioned in the Bible. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1, verse number 10 and 11. And in the book of Psalms, chapter number 102, verse number 25 and 26. That Almighty God created the heavens and the earth and they will perish. Exactly opposite is mentioned in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 1, verse number 4. And the book of Psalms, chapter number 78, verse number 69. That the earth will abide forever. I leave it to Dr. William Campbell to choose which of the two verses are unscientific. The first pair or the second pair. One has to be unscientific. Both cannot take place. The world cannot abide forever as well as perish. It's unscientific. Regarding the heavens, the Bible says in Job chapter 26 verse 11 that the pillars of the heaven will tremble. Quran says in Surah Luqman chapter 31 verse number 10 that the heavens are without any pillars. Don't you see it? Don't you see the heavens are without any pillars? Bible says heaven has got pillars. Not only do the heavens have got pillars, Bible says in the first book of Samuel, chapter number 2, verse number 8, as well as the book of Job, chapter number 9, verse number 6, and the book of Psalms, chapter number 75, verse number 3, that even the earth have got pillars. In the field of diet and nutrition, let's analyze what does the Bible say. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, verse number 29, that God has given you all the herbs bearing seeds, the trees bearing fruits, those that bear seed, as meat for you. New International Version says, the seed bearing plant and the trees bearing fruits, bearing seeds, are food for you, all of them. Today, even a layman knows that there are several poisonous plants like wild berries, strychnine, datura, plants containing alkaloid, oleander, buckeye poid, that which if you ingest, if you eat, there are high possibilities you may die. How come the creator of the universe and human beings doesn't know that if you have these plants you will die? I hope Dr. William Campbell doesn't give this vegetarian diet to his patients. The Bible has a scientific test how to identify a true believer. It's mentioned in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 16, verse number 17 and 18. It says that there will be signs for true believers, and among the signs, in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak foreign tongues, new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink deadly poison, they shall not be harmed, and when they place their hand over the sick, they shall be cured. This is a scientific test. In scientific terminology, it's known as the confirmatory test for a true Christian believer. In the past 10 years of my life, I have personally interacted with thousands of Christians, including missionary. I have not come across a single Christian who has passed this confirmatory test of the Bible. I have not come across a single Christian who took poison. I have not come across any who took poison and who has not died. And in scientific terminology, this is also called as a falsification test. That means, if a false person tries and does this test, then he will die. And a false person will not dare attempt this test. If you are not a true Christian believer, you will not dare attempt this test. Because if you try and attempt the falsification test, you will fail. So, a person who is not a true Christian believer will never attempt this test. I have read the book, the Quran, the Bible in the Light of History and Science, written by Dr. William Campbell. And I assume that he is a true Christian believer. And at least I would like him to confirm to me about the falsification test. Please be rest assured. I will not ask Dr. William Campbell to have deadly poison because I don't want to jeopardize the debate. What I'll do, I will only ask him to speak in foreign tongues, in new languages. And as many of you may be aware, that India is a land which has more than 1,000 languages and dialects. Only thing I request him is to say these three words, 100 rupees, in the 17 official languages. There are only 17 official languages in India. And to make it easier for Dr. William Campbell, I have got a 100 rupee note. And this has all the 17 languages mentioned here. Besides English and Hindi, I will help him. I will give him a beginning. 14 rupiah in Hindi. The remaining 15 languages are here. I request him to read. I know the test says they will speak foreign languages on their own without help of reading. But I want to make the test easier. I want to see someone passing the test. I have not seen anyone. So if he can't say it on his own,